An embarrassment? What do you mean an embarrassment? Okay, it was a lot of porn, but I think most of it was legal.
David, we're
talking
on.
About me being an embarrassment.
Okay, what? Yeah, we're going to have to start over the podcast here. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to Hoops HD.
Oh, have we started yet? Buddy.
Welcome back. This is our first bracket rundown show of the season. This is one of our favorite shows that we do all season. We're going to try to do one of these pretty much every week from here on out, where we are going to build portions of a bracket or reveal a bracket on the air, depending on what format we use. I'm your host up here in top center, Chad Sherwood. Got joining me David Griggs on one side, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org on the other side. Down in the center square there, we got John Titel. To his sides, we have John Slica, Joby Fortson, and Matt Sikowski down in the third row. So a huge panel here tonight. And what we like to do on the show, what we're going to do on the show is build out a seed list. And David, can you start by telling everybody what a seed list is if they're not familiar with that term?
Yes, it's essentially, yes, can you hear me? Because I can't seem to hear anybody else, but I heard your question. Technical difficulties all over the place tonight. We're off to a typical Hoops HD start. But anyway, a seed list is merely a ranking of the teams that are in the NCAA tournament by the committee. They rank them 1 through 68. In its simplest terms, it's that. We're used to seeing seedings, so you've got the four number ones, the four number twos. This is essentially that concept, only ranked 1 through 68. That is what we're going to do tonight. We will... I guess each one of us will go through. We'll give you who we think the next four teams on the list should be or should be, and then we're going to debate it. And then I think you're going to make the final decision. How do you end up doing this? I still think I should be the arbitrator.
because you couldn't hear you earlier, so I put a gif from that. But this is a seed list, a type of a seed list on the screen here. What the actual committee will do is start by selecting all the at-large teams, take the automatic bids, get their field of 68 and rank them 1 through 68. What we're going to kind of do is select our at-large teams and rank them and rank the teams kind of together at once. And we're going to get down to the end of the at-large bids, which will probably be the end of the 11 line, maybe the very top of the 12 line there. The rest, at the end of the show, we'll tell you what we're going to do about the rest of the show, rest of the seeds. But I guess we kind of just want to get right on into this. And I'm going to kind of pull on one of you at random here for each seed line to give me your four teams, and then we'll do the debate and we'll go from there. And Joby, let me start with you. You win the
I think the ones are a little less controversial. I bet we have pretty close to unanimity among most of them. I have Villanova as my overall number one seed still, even with a loss to Butler. I excuse it. Duke, as you know, they've beaten more teams that are in this field than anybody else. They've really shown it.
Nobody's in the field yet. How do we know that? We've only put two teams in the field. Yeah. Duke has not beaten any of them.
And Duke has not beaten Villanova. I understand. I love what Oklahoma's done recently, getting on fire. I love the TCU road win. Their one loss is to a team that I have as or at least not quite a protected seed, but close. And a team that I would like to see buff up the resume a little bit, but they really haven't done anything wrong. And they were preseason. It's an eye test thing, Michigan State.
All right. Well, Joby has gone with Nova, Duke, Oklahoma, Michigan State, a very solid core four here. A tight. What do you think of his teams?
I like three of them. If I think Trae Young on his own is an eight seed. But I think Oklahoma, even though they look great, that they're not one seed worthy yet. So I actually have Xavier getting in just ahead of them.
Okay, wow. What you can see I could do with the screen here is put Xavier in that bottom right corner. These other teams we're debating at the moment. But David, you had a comment on that?
Well, I like Oklahoma a lot. I actually had them as my overall number one. I know that their profile isn't there, but this is, just to clarify, this is not exactly us trying to guess or match the committee. This is us doing what we think it should be, as if we are our own committee. So, again, while I don't think the real committee would put Oklahoma all the way up there, I like them as much as anyone right now. And the other team I had up there, they only have one loss, but it was at Arizona. And, you know, they've beaten Xavier on a neutral floor, the same Xavier team that Titel was talking about. I have Arizona State as my fourth overall team.
Well, let's get to Arizona State in a second here. But Stalica, this Oklahoma versus Xavier, I just pulled up team sheets for both these teams. I think we can probably see the entire team sheets. And you can look at the numbers here, especially if you look at Oklahoma, number one in Joby's nitty-gritty ratings, number two in the KPI. They have a lot of – they have some very high ratings there. So where are you on that debate, Oklahoma-Xavier?
Funny thing is I'd have Oklahoma number five and Xavier number six overall on my seed list. Because I think I think Michigan State and Arizona State, while the paper isn't quite as good as what Oklahoma and Xavier have, I think their teams are a little more complete at this point.
So despite all those some pretty high metrics, especially on the, I guess we call the resume-based metrics, you'd rather go Arizona State and – up there as well. Well, Rocco, let me bring you in here to kind of, I think we've all kind of agreed that Villanova and Duke are up there, but we've got four other teams we're kind of debating.
I didn't have Duke up there.
Yeah, I think right now it's, there's so much season left that it almost has to be a little bit of a hybrid, even more so on the predictive side. So I think looking at it from that standpoint, I think it's fair to get Duke, the number one seed. I actually had them number five on my seed list. For right now, I have Oklahoma and Arizona State just above them at 3 and 4, with Villanova and Michigan State at 1 and 2. I think Xavier needs to be in the conversation as the sixth team, but with Arizona State killing them on a neutral floor at this early stage, I don't see how you can put them above Arizona State.
Now, I think we also have to make one note as it relates to Michigan State. Since this is live on tape delay, we are not factoring in the game against Maryland, but they are blowing away the Terrapins right now.
They're killing.
We can factor that in as a win. They're up 30 with 5 minutes left as we record this. but I guess this, and in terms of Arizona State, we are not factoring that in either. They are in a battle right now at Colorado. So should they happen to fall somehow in that game, we are not factoring that in at the moment. But Joby, let me turn back to you. Do you want to defend having your picks there? You've heard cases for Xavier.
Yeah, I would reject, though. I mean, you can make a strong argument. I made the Oklahoma argument on Arkansas. Xavier's won losses to Arizona State. I would prefer, if you're going to knock Oklahoma out, I would go with the Sun Devils, to be very honest, because of that game. It's early enough where there are not enough data points where head-to-head actually probably plays a little bit of a role. But I still like what Oklahoma's done. Fact of the matter is, it's away from home. All three of those big wins are away from home. Those are impressive components. But Arizona State, I can definitively see an argument for. Without that, you can erase that St. John's win. That's not a good one.
You know, they got the win at Arizona State, the win at Kansas, the neutral court win over Xavier. That's a pretty convincing argument there. But Tytel, there's one team that I was surprised that nobody brought up. I thought it might come up here. What about the Boilermakers on the one line? Do you think they have a shot to be close to be there?
Well, I must, because I was the one who picked them to win it all the other night.
I went to you with it.
I mean, it's hard to excuse the Western Kentucky loss, even though it was close, even though it was out of the country. The Tennessee loss, certainly a good loss. So, yeah, I think they're in the conversation. But I think that when we're talking about a one seed in early January, I feel pretty comfortable now that there are no undefeated teams left, as John has mentioned the other day. I feel comfortable that only a one-loss team should be there. So, sorry, Purdue.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I am, as the arbitrator, I got to make a decision here. And I'm going to stick with Joby's line as he gave it to us. Villanova, Duke.
No, that's the wrong decision. Arizona State should be up there. You're doing it wrong. This is why I should be the arbitrator.
I love the Arizona State pick, and you're going to have a hard time convincing me that they're not number five overall. But I just think that Oklahoma has done so much as well. All five of those teams have done so much, in my opinion. But on that note, I guess, Tytel, let me go to you for the two seeds here. And I hope that Arizona State and Xavier are two of them.
They are two of them. You can punch them in right now. As far as the other two, I think it's a lot less clear than what Joby had as clear for the one seeds. As much as I like Purdue, I think they're just a little behind, but an argument can be made. So if you want to put them in the corner, that's fine. I think West Virginia gets it done. Another one-loss team. They're only lost to a good Texas A&M team that's slipping a little, but it was in another continent. So I think that that is a good loss, as it were. And then my fourth team, I think there's a couple we can throw in there, but they've all been losing recently. I'll go with Carolina, but I could easily be Virginia if you need a different ACC team in there.
I kind of cringe as I take North Carolina in, because I agree with you. And that I think we kind of hit that line right below West Virginia. But Rocco, what do you think of his picks there, especially number 7 and number 8 there, West Virginia, North Carolina?
Yeah, I like the trajectory West Virginia's on. I've got him as a 3, but so they're close to where John has them. I actually have Purdue and Texas Tech. Texas Tech, of course, getting the big win at Kansas. Now, if Kansas falls apart, that doesn't look as good down the road. But for right now, their only loss is virtually a road game against Seton Hall that they played in New York City. And they've looked pretty impressive throughout the year. And I think they're deserving of the 2 line at this point.
Did I lose Matt? I apologize, Matt. Did I miss you on the one side, Lynn?
I glad Rocco brought up Texas Tech, because that's – I would have been – I've heard four of them here on this 2 line. I think they're really good teams. Even the loss, one time I've seen them against Seton Hall, I thought they were very impressive. And now winning at Fog Allen, which it's a little easier this year, it looks like, than most years, but still very impressive. What I think they've got to be on the 2 line, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. Who would you knock off of Tytel's 2 line then? West Virginia or Carolina?
Carolina.
Okay.
What about Wichita State? I have them all the way up here.
Oh, a little high still.
They haven't beaten anybody.
Yeah, and they've got a
home. I'm serious in that. They just haven't beaten anybody. They haven't had bad losses, but they haven't beaten a soul.
They've lost to – well, Notre Dame was kind of rough, but –
I
like the Shockers.
I'll bring up here that is, I think it's time to look at Arizona.
They had the
incident in the Bahamas, but they're quietly building a nice resume in a sort of home court ish, although to A&M was a neutral court, and I've got A&M still in my 3 line.
I'm with Matt on Arizona and Purdue. This is where I put in Purdue. Carolina's who I knock out for one of those 2 teams. I don't like Carolina. Barely escaped Wake at home. They did. Losing at Florida State is one of 8 straight games at home is not embarrassing, especially in a close fashion. But I don't think they're quite there, even though they have a bevy of impressive wins. I think the 3 line is where they are.
Well, Salika, I've kind of heard this argument here that kind of sounded like West Virginia. Most people are kind of leaning towards them being here than not here. But this Arizona, Purdue, Texas Tech, North Carolina, where do you stand on kind of those 4 teams altogether? David's not going to convince me Wichita State belongs up on the 2 line.
I agree that Arizona State, Xavier, and West Virginia belong up here. But if we're going to take a team with multiple losses, I'd much rather go with Purdue over here, considering they've beaten Arizona. And they also have pretty decisive wins at Marquette and also against Butler that was part of the Crossroads Classic. They're also the only team that's won at Maryland so far. Granted, Maryland may not be a tournament team as far as this week goes, but I still like what Purdue has done overall.
Well, Tytel, let me go back to you. We have a 1-loss team, though, that a couple of you mentioned, this Texas Tech team. They're on the right-hand side there on the screen. And just 1-5 Allen. I mean, I know that nobody was thinking there were anything heading to the season, but is this possibly a 2-seed team right now?
I'm just trying to grasp the RPI rankings. I see Nevada above Kansas. Like, what world am I living in? This is amazing. Texas Tech has a very solid resume. I still think it's a little too high because while they have these 2 good wins and the loss to Seton Hall is very explainable, not a ton of other impressive notches on the belt, whereas Carolina, I think, has a lot of good wins. And the losses, I mean, we were losing at Florida State by 1. Michigan State was a bad loss. Wofford, inexcusable. Of course, Fletcher McGee can do whatever he wants. But, I would not have a problem with Texas Tech, but I think it is a little high.
And I think this is why I ultimately decided not to put Texas Tech on the two line, because I think outside of their nice wins, they still have a very high strength of schedule as compared to someone like Purdue.
I'm higher on Virginia than I am North Carolina. And part of it, I know North Carolina's paper is good, but for whatever reason, I just can't, they just haven't been playing as well as I think they should.
Yeah.
I don't think they're that great. It's not like they have a bunch of McDonald's All-Americans or anything. I have Carolina in my four line, to be perfectly honest.
Cam Johnson is not replacing Jackson in the manner that he needs to for that team to go. They don't have a go-to for John Berry, in my opinion. That this is not. I mean, it's a good team. Don't get me wrong. I'll be shocked if we don't have him as a protected seed. But I'm not as sold on Carolina, especially the two line.
Yeah, I agree with that, Joby. Yeah, and they're really struggling up front. They're just a lot of guards, and they're relying on a lot of outside shots compared to previous years.
Right, and the Wofford loss at home, I'm having trouble in early January having a team that lost to Wofford at home, putting them on the two line. So I do agree that they're not the team that should be there. I've heard good arguments for Purdue and Texas Tech. If you'd asked me what I would have gone with, I would probably go with Purdue, but I think the arguments for Texas Tech have been pretty convincing as well. So that's where we're going to go fill out this two line here. I'll drop North Carolina under consideration. And Rocco, you see, we do have Purdue, North Carolina, Wichita State, Arizona, all under consideration, but not yet in. But who would be your three seeds based on this field so far?
Yeah, so three seeds right now. I'm looking at Virginia. I'm looking at TCU, Wichita State, and West Virginia now.
So Virginia.
And TCU, they finally won their first road game. It's a little bit tougher to convince probably the committee here that they deserve a three, but they haven't.
Yeah, it was a decent road win, but, yeah, I mean, it isn't quite. I like this TCU team, just not quite this high. But anyway.
Yep.
Well, Rocco, I missed one of your teams there. You said TCU, Wichita State. Who was the fourth?
Oh, I had West Virginia, who you already have in. So go ahead and throw in Purdue.
Purdue, okay.
I had them as a two.
Oh, you've had Purdue at the top of this line then.
Yeah, Purdue at the top. Yep.
Okay.
David, go ahead. Your comments on that.
Well, I know they had a really bad 72 hours in Atlantis, but I mean, when you look at Arizona and I know it was sort of home court heroes, but they've beaten Arizona State and Texas A&M, they've beaten teams that are ranked really high. I just can't justify not having them in over TCU.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, Tytel, you're our Arizona guy, so you want to take up this argument here, TCU versus Arizona, who is Arizona is pretty big at half right now as we request.
I think we're getting into the very close borderline things, so that you can make a good argument for both. I think if you have three losses in a row, and if the NC State loss is looking worse and worse every day, so I would not have a problem putting TCU ahead of the Cats.
I'm missing the wins, aren't we? Where are the wins on TCU, the big wins?
They have two actually, the top, and Arizona is two in the top.
TCU has actually three teams I think we're going to be including in this field.
Oh, yeah. I like this TCU team.
Yeah.
In fact,
they have more wins than, and I'll throw my own team under the bus than Virginia does against this field.
But I think to Chad's point, as far as TCU's three wins, I'm not sure any of those teams are going to be wearing white jerseys at this point.
True enough.
I got two of them wearing white actually personally, but
wearing white in an 8-9 game is a lot different than wearing white as a 4-seed or a 5-seed.
But the
A&M wins are for Arizona.
And I'll be straight, and this is where I might be an outlier from this committee, but I have Wichita State as a 7. I mean, their resume is nothing. They avoided bad losses for the most part. They have no wins. None. Zero. I mean, you gotta beat somebody. Houston's not a win. It's a good good, you know. Nice.
Oh, thanks for spoiling it, Jim. Yeah, I was so looking forward to watching that later.
Yeah, you'd be an NIT team by 30. Great. Virginia did that too. At least Virginia beat Rhode Island.
Yeah, well, I have Virginia.
Well, Matt, what do you take issue with the TCU-Wichita State on this three line then?
Yeah, I ended up both as fours. I have Arizona State on this Arizona on this line, and actually I have Texas A&M on this line.
Well, that's
it's got a little south recently. Yeah. I'm still – the way they beat West Virginia, maybe, who knows, that was a crazy one-off. But and then they've done some decent since then. But
There's free-falling, and then there's jumping out of a plane, heading towards the ground with a jetpack on your back going full blast. That is what Texas A&M is doing.
When they get Edmond Gilder back, when they get DJ Hoag back off the weed suspension. Yeah.
The missing players is a big deal for me on A&M. They aren't here, but I don't have them probably as low as others who would be skeptical of them. I'm with Matt that they probably should be getting a protected seed. I have them on my next line, though.
Yeah, the problem is outside of that West Virginia win, now the USC win continues to not look as strong. And then the two free fall games with the suspensions. But – I agree, Matt. Overall, I think they'll right the ship at some point and safely be in, and then maybe even work their way back up into the top four seed.
Yeah, speaking of weed, I think Arizona State is smoking some right now. Anyway.
We're in Colorado.
Colorado.
As we record this, Arizona State is now down 3 to Colorado. We will keep updating. We will
adjust.
DJ Hoag joke, that's basically a three-game suspension is basically the weed suspension.
Tytel, how about this? What do you do with this A&M team they do have the suspensions, but, I mean, not even in these last two games. It's just blown out of the buildings against Alabama and Florida.
Again, I go back to the Jalen Adams corollary that if you lose games when you have guys out, then you shouldn't be penalized as much as everybody here, it seems, wants to penalize them. As far as Joby, Wichita State had Marcus McDuffie gone most of the season. All he did last year was lead the team in scoring. So I do think you're an outlier with the seventh seed. So I think that Wichita belongs here.
Something. I mean, they'll get some opportunities in the American. Oh, wait a minute. They won't. I'm sorry. I know I'm an outlier at seven. I know that. But they haven't beat anybody. They haven't not beaten anybody.
The highlights are on. They beat Houston tonight.
They beat an NIT team at home. Way to go.
Spoiler alert, I think Marquette is somebody that Wichita has beaten.
Yeah.
Well, Tytel, who would you have here? Purdue, Virginia, and who would your other two teams be?
That seems like a pretty good list, frankly. If I had to be a outlier, I would not make an argument for A&M. I still think that Carolina's metrics are amazing. And even though they don't have any wins that are like top 10, they've beaten so many teams from Power Conference like Purdue has, that I think they should be at least under consideration here.
Well, they are under consideration. And in fact, from what I've heard, I'm knocking TCU out, replacing them with Arizona. And Joby has convinced me at a little bit of this Wichita State thing here. So I am going to follow
that's two. You can...
and go Carolina out and I'm sorry, Carolina in and Wichita State out. So that's where we are. Purdue, Virginia, Arizona, Carolina, and Sleeka, let me go to you for the four line. We do have four teams there again under consideration.
This is where I'm going to take Kansas, and this is where I'm going to go to a team we haven't mentioned yet, and that's Arkansas. I'm also going to go with Texas A&M, and TCU would be my last protected seed here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The leak is on the anti-Wichita State train with me.
Hey, guess who? Guess who beat Arkansas?
Well, Matt, let me turn to you.
Guess who beat Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Kansas, Arkansas, A&M, and TCU for the four line. Wichita State's still not in there.
Yeah, I have Wichita. Another team he hasn't mentioned. I was a little surprised because they're. Profile. I like Seton Hall's profile a fair amount.
Oh, my God.
Even the incident.
I think
Even with that incident at Rutgers, that the neutral court went over Texas Tech. What's really impressing me on that, Ali?
I'm going to go under the radar. I love this Arkansas team. I had them as my top fifth seed, but I had the Zags here.
What about Florida State?
Four wins by the Zags that all are pretty darn impressive, and they're not going to get many opportunities. I think they did what they had to out of conference.
Florida State just beat North Carolina, and they won at Florida. So there's that.
Oh, Florida State's a good five seed.
I think the most egregious one's actually Kansas. Other than the Kentucky neutral win, what really has Kansas done? I guess Texas is.
Well, I don't know that I've ever seen Kansas not a protected seed, so they've got to be there, don't they?
But I think, in fairness to Kansas, the three best wins are away from the fog when you consider Kentucky and Syracuse and also the road win at Texas.
The road win at Texas is a good one.
Yeah.
That's where I like Gonzaga. Yeah.
Rocco, we're getting a lot of debate here. I mean, Kansas, yeah. Arkansas, A&M, TCU. I mean, are these all four of these teams wrong, or where are you on these teams?
I have Kansas in the exact same spot as Stalika, and a lot of that's more on predictive versus what they've done. So take it with a grain of salt. But I do have, of course, I had Wichita State earlier, so that would be the next team I would put in, and then I also have Auburn and Kentucky here. And Kentucky's a little bit more on the predictive, but Auburn, you know, with the one loss and five top 100 KenPom wins, probably a good time to bring them into the mix.
Well, so now we have about 15 teams mentioned for these spots here. I'm running out of rooms on my under consideration board, but a Titel, what are your thoughts on this debate here on the four line?
I like most of the Southwest Conference that we put on the four line.
Yes.
Am I wrong? No. If I had to take one out and switch one in, I really, even though it's against Joby's outlier position, I would sub Wichita for Arkansas.
And I'm kind of leaning that way also. Sleek, you want to go back and defend the Arkansas pick? I will put them up on the screen right here, their team sheet.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, they had the win against Oklahoma that was part of the PK80. They also have some decent wins against Minnesota and Tennessee, but the only other notable win away from home would be UConn. But that's a little bit iffy.
Minnesota's a good win.
Arkansas beat Oklahoma. That's a great win. I give you that. But I just don't see much else there on the profile when you compare them to some of these other teams we're discussing. David?
I like Wichita State more. Okay.
And I'm gonna agree with David.
But I'm not going to say that, Arkansas has the best overall win, but I like Wichita State more.
I'm going to agree with David, and that's going to be the team that I'm going to sub out. I'm going to sub out Wichita State in. I did like that mention of Gonzaga there, Joby, but just, Gonzaga is such a tough team to evaluate, always playing the West Conference. In fact, I could put them up on the screen here. If you want to mention them briefly, Ohio State, a win at Washington, a win over Creighton. I mean, those are all nice wins, even the Texas win.
And while the San Diego State win could be better, loss could be better, I mean, the losses aren't really that bad. And it's, I always view it, how many wins do you have versus the teams in the tournament versus losses to teams outside the tournament? They have either a 3, depending on what we do tonight, 3 or 4 to 1 ratio. And that's a nice ratio to have.
5 when you put Texas Southern in, right?
I should always classify at-large eligible.
Okay, at-large. Well, Matt, let me go to you for the 5 line here. You see there's 6 teams we've met here that did not get in yet. I hope that some of those show up in your 5 line.
Yes, they would. I'd have Seton Hall, Arkansas, Florida State, and this is a tough team to evaluate, but this, I think, 5's about where a decent spot, and that's Florida.
Ah! Matt is a genius. My same 4.
You want to discuss Florida a little, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, I just had those same 4 teams, so.
Right. Well,
but Florida, again, all over the map, a little bit schizophrenic, but their good is really good. And then they just – I mean, they blasted a somewhat depleted Texas A&M team the other night. But I think they've righted their ship and they're rolling again. So I like them.
We're comparing them with Gonzaga. They beat Gonzaga on a neutral in a game that probably should never even – it was a great game. But like, I thought Florida basically controlled that game most of the way.
I don't know if we're ready to mention Florida quite yet, but I want to bring up another team that we haven't mentioned yet, and that's a team that suddenly learned how to close games, the Clemson Tigers.
Who beat Florida, by the way.
And they're winning Ohio State. Clemson was actually better by the day.
Next on my list, because I had Kansas as a 6 seed personally, so that's where I had Clemson as my other 5.
Yeah. Well, Rocco, I mean – there is Florida. The big mark there is that Loyola Chicago loss at home, and Loyola Chicago has been fading lately. That loss is looking worse and worse. And there's Clemson, only one loss, even if they don't have the big win.
Yeah, I thought I was high on Florida, but I guess I wasn't as high as a couple of you guys. I've got them on the 6, but this is where I have Cincinnati in there, and I agree on Florida State. I have them right there at number 19, and I have Texas A&M, which we already seeded, so – yeah, I guess I would just go back to Auburn and Kentucky.
Yeah, well, we continue to leave Auburn and Kentucky out. Tytel, do you think we think we're being wrong here by already putting Arkansas and potentially Florida in before we get to Auburn and Kentucky?
Yes. I cannot see Florida getting in over Kentucky. Look at the metrics, people. It's not even close.
Yeah, here's the RPIs on the screen right here. Florida's RPI at 63, Kentucky at an 11.
Thank you.
It's a small. I mean, there's a bit of a discrepancy, but I mean, it's early.
I think every single metric, Kentucky's going to beat Florida, and I can't justify.
I don't consider the RPI very much.
Yeah. Well, when Florida beats them later on, so
I think I think there's a potential for an SEC party on the 6th seed line. Let's look at other teams here. I'm going to bang the Gonzaga bandwagon, but Clemson would also get it over all those SEC teams mentioned.
Well, I'm going to make the change here, and it's going to be Florida out, Kentucky in. I think Kentucky still belongs here. Even if they struggle when they beat LSU, they do win the game. So at the end of the day, it's going to be a victory. And David, let me go to you for the 6th line here. You see, we do have 5 teams we've mentioned already that are sitting there waiting to come in.
Yeah, one of them is the team you just took out. I have Florida in. Gonzaga, who did we put them in? I can't.
Not yet.
No, we have not.
Okay. So I've got Florida, the Zags, Auburn, and Nevada all the way up here. Oh, I'm sorry, Clemson.
Okay. It was a little early for Nevada, I think, but Auburn and Clemson. So for the 5 teams that we have discussed, Cincinnati is still not making the field there. Tytel, what do you think of his picks?
I'm still not sure why everybody loves Florida. I actually have them like a little lower than this. So I would rather put in a slumping Miami team than a average Florida team, frankly.
Yeah. Now, Florida's looking
because of what they've done away from home. I mean, they did well in the PK 80. They had the win at Texas A&M. I know that they haven't done as well at home, ironically, but I just think that not only do they have nice wins, they have nice wins away from home. And that's just kind of like really impressive to me. I know their metrics are bad, but I think that's more the lack of data points still a little bit. It's only week 9. There's 18 weeks and we're not even to the halfway point yet. So
the SEC will give them opportunities, but I'm going to throw one other team out to look at. We talk about big, great wins against the one line that we have. Who gave Villanova their one loss? I like Butler a lot here.
All right, Butler. Even Butler has got some of the metrics there with the 17 RPI, the 37 KenPom. But here's that Florida team and the Miami profile. Let me replace Florida with the Butler profile, Matt. What do you think about this argument here that Butler or Miami belongs up here as somewhere on this line? I know you like Florida better than these, but somewhere on this line. Matt, we can't quite hear you. I think we. Let me go to Stalico with that question.
Matt's right. Mr. Big East. He loves it.
Lincoln, let me throw the same question to you.
So I think if you can repeat that one more time.
The question was I've got Butler and Miami. What do you like about maybe putting one of those two teams on this line instead of one of these other teams that we just discussed?
He hates it. These are my picks. The line is done. Let's move on to the next line.
No, Puppet. I'm sorry. I mean, if we were going to go by Miami, they have one decent win at Minnesota. Butler, we know about Villanova, but they also beat Ohio State in the PK80. They've also beaten Utah. And the only negative where I would give Miami an edge, they're 7-2 away from home. Butler has a losing record in 3-4 away from Hinkle. So that's the one hang up for me, having Butler that high.
Yeah, and David, you love the road wins. Look at that with Miami. Tons of wins away from home. In fact, you know, you've got to get out of that section four before you get to the home wins.
Yeah, who are we looking at?
Miami on the right side there, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like my – they've just had kind of a bad week, and I don't know. I'm just not quite as impressed, although, yeah, they've won away from home, but it isn't quite as big as what Florida's done, I don't think.
Yeah, and Joby talks about wins and losses against teams that we have in the field, and I would argue that Miami doesn't have a win against a team in the at-large pool. So I think that's why it might be pretty premature right now to bring them in.
Well, I am going to go Miami. Sorry, Rocco. I'm just not that
what are you crazy. Doing?
I guess I wasn't convincing. Hey.
I like the Florida pick, but I think you can't
change. These are my picks. These are my picks. No. Put them back. Put Florida back.
Joby, I want to go to
these
you.
These are my picks.
Go back around to you again for this next line. You see Florida, Cincinnati, Butler, the three teams we've seriously discussed that did not get in. I did put Miami in over Florida on that last line.
Yeah, I'm. If we're looking at the next one, you heard me say Butler. You know, go ahead and say Butler is the next one. Like I said, it's an SEC party. You know, from you took my SEC guys. This is where it gets a little tougher for me. I'm going to miss somebody, I'm sure. I have Texas. Actually, this is where Texas walks in. This is where Cincinnati comes in for me. And I don't have Florida yet. They're the next team out. I'm actually going with Rhodey here.
Can you? I know I bumped Florida a couple times already, but you got to really sell me that Texas and Rhode Island are better than Florida at this point.
Well. They Rhode Island has the win against Seton Hall, so there you go, sitting at number sitting on the 5 seed. And their losses aren't that bad. I mean, they lost to Virginia in the NIT final, for instance. Texas, I would like to have a better record for Texas, but Texas, they scheduled tough. They went out and beat that Butler team that I am high on, at least an Alabama team that will be. Likely in our field. I know they could use improve their – they're probably in the play-in game area for where I think this group will be. But Texas, they just scheduled tough. I mean, no shame in almost any of those losses right there. Michigan maybe, but, you know, I like overall what Texas has done. They went out on the road. Hey, Iowa State's nothing special. They're NIT, CBI at best, but they did win on the road. And winning at the rematch away in Richmond at VCU's, and nice little win.
I think a major question I would have as far as Rhode Island is, yes, they beat Seton Hall, but that is their only win away from home so far.
Well, Tytel, let me stick with this Florida versus Texas debate before we talk about Rhode Island even. Texas beat Butler and Alabama, who's maybe in. Florida's won at A&M and beating Cincinnati and Gonzaga on a neutral floor. Three teams that we have in already. Are you with Joby that Texas is better than Florida?
I think it's a coin flip. I don't think it's crystal clear. It's amazing. Like, they had a chance to beat Kansas, which would have obviously put them even higher than this, and they just couldn't get it done. Mo Bamba was amazing.
Yeah.
But look, losing these legendary schools who've all been – in a title game, if not one, at Duke, Kansas, Michigan, Gonzaga. That's like cream of the crop. How does Lipscomb have an RPI rating of 30?
Matt, are you back? We still don't have Matt. Let me see if I can get his sound working here. Hold on. Matt, is that better?
There we go. Okay, yeah.
All right, Matt, we got you back. Let's have your thoughts on this seven line here that Joby gave us.
A little too high for Texas, a little too high for basically high for everyone but Cincy. I think if we're talking Big East team, their profile, especially with Nova, would not be good. But I think Creighton's flat out the better team than Butler. And I mean, I didn't think Butler was that good until they beat Nova. And I wouldn't be stunned if that turns out to be a one off. Like,
yeah, Butler's got their number.
In that.
Yeah, well, Rocco, what is your thoughts? Should we have Florida or Creighton in here above one or two of these teams, or somebody else even?
Yes, I have both, and I agree with Matt. Since I like Cincinnati, but I think the other three, it's a little too early. I also have Creighton and Florida, like you have here, and then I would add in Tennessee here.
David, that's a new name, Tennessee.
Oh, actually, here's a team we haven't mentioned. And they just beat them. Michigan beat Texas head-to-head. So I have Michigan in this area.
Okay, we seem to have lost David. Joby, what about that idea of a Tennessee? You said Michigan in this area too?
Yeah.
I would rather have Florida than of all the teams. Florida is my next team after that. I can accept that. But Michigan's a little early on that. Yeah, they have the UCLA win on top of the Texas win, but which looks better since UCLA won in Rupp recently. They were playing awful at the time, so I don't know how much you give credence with the recent suspensions to the UCLA win. Michigan's a tournament team. Don't get me wrong. I think they should not be wearing white though.
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to make calls here, and I am going to knock Florida out, knock Texas out, put Florida in their place. And I guess we got to knock Rhode Island out in exchange for Creighton was the best argument that I think we heard. So sorry, Jim, we did lose two of your teams there. But we will carry over both Texas and Rhode Island instead. Tytel, let me go to you here. We do have those four carryover teams, Rhode Island, Texas, Tennessee, and Michigan that have all been mentioned, but who would be your eight seeds based on the field so far?
I want to get Tennessee in here. I'll explain why. This is the part of the game where you have to see if all your losses are to teams ahead of you, or if all your losses are to teams who we've already announced, then you're probably up. Tennessee's lost to Villanova, Carolina, Arkansas, Auburn. We've already put all those in. It's time to get Tennessee in. I like Rhode Island. I like Texas. I'm not loving Michigan, even though they beat Texas head-to-head, so I get that, Matt. I would throw in
I have a team that I would throw in that I'm surprised I would throw in, that, but go ahead. I'll have your pick first, and then I'll tell you who I was thinking of.
I kind of want to do – we have Texas already?
Yes, we just – yep.
I'll stop with those three and let somebody else pick the fourth.
Well, I'll tell you the team that I'm kind of looking at here. Maybe you all laugh at me here, especially because of how much I've insulted them over the years. But I think Missouri needs some consideration here.
Yeah.
Their profile is a little better than I thought, but that's still a bit too high. I think they're serious at-large consideration, but not at the eighth seed. A team that actually – this is David will love me. I think Nevada needs to be mentioned here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joby, what are your thoughts? Missouri, Nevada, Michigan?
Missouri, Nevada, Michigan. I mean, these are three teams that all are in. You're going to be shocked. You're going to cringe. Just like my Rhode Island might have been a stretch, I am going to stretch into the American that I have been insulting and make a Southwest Conference Part 2 with SMU.
I got some right at this range too, Joby, so I don't think it's a big stretch.
We got to go back like you all did, like two lines.
Arizona. They beat Arizona.
I, too, have SMU, Joby. You got three people.
Well, David, I think we have you back here. We were just looking at the 8 line where we just put Tennessee, Rhode Island, Texas in, and kind of the team that we're debating is the fourth team. Is it Missouri, Nevada, SMU, Michigan?
Well, we got to move Missouri probably down to the 12 line, because if you look at the four seeds and you look at where Kansas is, you have to match that up. This is way.
That would be a 13, Puppet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we can move him just right to. I was thinking of in the round of 32, but that would be even better.
Tytel, based on what you've heard, would do you have a pick? Do you have somebody convince you who your fourth team would be now?
I wasn't going to go with Missouri, but I was, because it's weird. I always think of the Michael Porter Jr. injury as like, oh, that's in the past, but it's this season. And I really like to not penalize teams for playing and succeeding or losing without one of their best players who's hurt. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. Hard to excuse the loss to Illinois, even though it was the big rivalry game, because that's the only rivalry Missouri engages in these days. Hoo-ah!
But I We can fix that. We can fix that. We can make that change.
Let's not. I like both these teams, but yeah, let's go with Missouri.
All right, well, then we're going to go Missouri. I understand the Nevada pick. They're up there also, but they each have a bad loss. Nevada has the San Francisco loss, and Missouri, you got to like, you know, St. John's and two road wins against the, you know, the Section 1 teams, we call there, that could be up to the top 75 teams. So a little better than just beating Rhode Island at home, and that's it. So we'll stick with Missouri there, and go to you, Rocco, for the 9 line, where Nevada, SMU, Michigan all under consideration.
Yeah, so I would have already had SMU in at this point. And then I'm going to go UCLA. I'm going to take Michigan down there. And then did we already put Butler in? Okay, we did. So now I'm going to go ahead and throw in Boise State.
Whoa, then now you're going – you're not putting Nevada in? You're putting
before Nevada. Interesting.
I've got Boise 1 ahead of Nevada. They're my next team. So.
Okay, well –
And that loss to San Francisco pretty much did it.
Chobi, let me start because that raised some eyebrows, that pick there.
Yeah, I got it. I mean, Boise, there's a theme. Whenever you hear David talk, it's about wins away from home. You know, there's a lot of it. Obviously, the metric I look at is, all right, are you beating the teams you're going to play? Boise, I think, should be part of this field. But I don't think it could be ahead of a team like Nevada, because as much as the San Francisco loss is a negative, the Rhode Island win is more of a positive, and that's better than anything Boise has done to date. Lucky for us, they're going to be able to play it out. You know, we're going to figure out by the end of the season who deserves it more between the two. I just say give it to the Wolfpack right now. And, you know, Nevada's, you know – the other losses they have, you know, your TCU's, Texas Tech's, those are turned to be, I mean, protected seed level losses. I'm, you know, and they look pretty decent in those games. I'll go Nevada in this debate.
I like Nevada a little bit more, but I had them both on this line.
Well, Tytel, we're talking Nevada, Boise State. Why aren't we talking St. Bonaventure before we get there?
Because they screwed up the whole thing. I told you they were going to be Dayton. Why do I do this to myself?
Exactly. What do you think about that debate? Would you have one of these Mountain West teams on the 9 line? And would
it be? But unfortunately, Rocco, I think you got the wrong one just based on the metrics. I understand the reasoning, but I got to go with Nevada.
No problem. I think Nevada is a better team on, you know, in with the eye test. I like the Boise State paper so far, but yeah, metrics are good for Nevada too. So we'll get to see them battle it out. It's gonna be fun.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rocco, that was your line. So Sleek, let me go to you here for the 10 line. And actually, there's only one team we've even discussed at this point. So we're gonna have a bunch of new teams we haven't discussed yet about to come into play here, including potentially Colorado if this is going on right now. But go ahead, Salika.
Okay. Is Marquette in yet?
Okay. No, Marquette has not been mentioned yet.
I think that's a very, very interesting tee that should be discussed right about now, and we'll get to that. But Slika, who are your 14?
Yeah, well, after you threw me off for pointing out that you deleted the wrong teams, I lost track of who we had and had not put in.
Well, look on the screen, David. So, Slika, go ahead.
Well, besides Boise State, this is where I'm going to add Minnesota. I'm going to add another under-the-radar team in New Mexico State.
Nice.
And this is where I would add the Bonnies after their bedwetting at Dayton last night.
Oh, my God.
Rocco, New Mexico State, are they inside the bubble and on the 10 line?
I have them. They would barely be inside the bubble. This is too early. But I love the thought there. I would have, in this line, I've got Boise or Nevada, whichever. So we'll say Boise. And now this is where I put in Notre Dame. And this is where I put in Maryland. And where I put in Baylor. And Baylor is going to be a huge debate. I already know it's coming.
Well, Matt, let me go to you first here on this. Notre Dame, Maryland, Baylor. David mentioned your Marquette team. I think we should throw them up there on the board as well. What do you think of Sleeka's crazy pick here?
Yeah, I'd have Minnesota here. I don't think I'd have any of the other three. I'm not quite. I had Boise in my field, but like at 44. The other team I'm surprised we haven't mentioned, they're a little schizo, but we don't have Bama in yet, do we?
Alabama, no.
And we don't have SMU in, do we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we did get SMU in.
Oh, yeah, okay. So they can – okay, I can delete them off my list.
Listen, Matt, I've thought about Alabama, but I don't think we have any other team that's going to have five losses in there. And if you look at two of those losses, like Central Florida and Vanderbilt, that's going to be a deal-breaker in my book.
Yeah,
but I got trouble. I think Alabama makes this field. They're played in the first four. I've got trouble with them this high still.
Yeah, we'll get to it, but I agree, Chad. And my reasoning that I always give on the playing games is you give it to teams who have been untested that you want to take a chance on and teams that are schizo that you want to take a chance on. Yeah, and I think Bama fits that latter category pretty strong.
I like that.
Well, Tytel, can you tell Slika where he messed up on this line?
The line is Boise, Minnesota, New Mexico, St.
I don't even like them a little bit, really. But we'll
your
get,
name, Tytel?
Sorry, hold on, Tytel. It is not. I apologize.
He copies all my picks. He might as well be. No. I think the Aggies are a little high. I would go with – I like Baylor. Like, if you look at their four losses – those are four losses to really good teams, and I understand they haven't dominated the rest of the country, but Wisconsin, not great this year, but still a decent win, and beating Creighton, who's already in our field, seems like a good win to me, too.
They have two wins against the top 200, and one of them is Wisconsin. I mean, you beat Creighton and you get in the field? Can somebody explain
that
to me?
They have bad losses, like St. Bonaventure, like all the other schools you're mentioning. I get it, but they don't. They have losses to four.
They're the automatic qualifier of the 284 non-conference strength of schedule.
Aren't you the one who wants to put the entire Big 12 into one region?
No, that's David.
No, that's me. I would like to do that.
Actually, John, I'd like to put the entire Big 12 in one region, but there's only eight teams, and Baylor's not one of the eight. Oklahoma State and them can walk around. You're right. Baylor's better than Oklahoma State and Kansas State, but you know my point.
But I think they're better than many. I don't understand Minnesota. I mean, what if they won at Providence, and that we thought that was good for a minute, and they beat Alabama when Alabama was down to three players. I just haven't been all that impressed with many.
And it's funny, they're actually up by more against Alabama's five than like what crazy against a three.
I even defended that. I was big on many for, and maybe that's one of the reasons I'm just jaded on them because I feel like they let me down. But I don't know what do you like about Minnesota?
They've only lost to teams that have been in, and then one team that should have been in one seed according to you.
Well, so is Texas Southern. I mean, like, you know.
Joey, if, who would we put in here if we're taking teams like New Mexico State and or Minnesota out? Would it be one of
these? Oh, you're going to hate me when I say that. Well, actually, New Mexico State, Minnesota, I actually have both of them in, so it's just a line too soon. The teams that I have, you can crucify me for just as bad probably, but I'm going – I'd go Mississippi State, St. Mary's, Washington gets a mention here.
I like two of those three more than Minnesota. St. Mary's, I just can't get with.
Yeah.
Now we're talking, Joby.
Well, what about Notre Dame? The title. I mean, no Bonsie Colson, but they didn't need him last night at all.
No, this is the if you're picking it on early January, you can put Notre Dame in this field. But I like to look ahead a couple months, and I think Notre Dame is going to.
Yeah. Well, Matt, what about your Marquette team there? You know, I mean, Big East record in scoring last night.
I like this next line, this next group of Marquette. Like, right, Marquette looks like a very fun team for Dayton.
All right, well, I'm going to make a move here. I'm going to agree with David and knock out Minnesota. Like Maryland, because they're the only one that hasn't been completely crucified of all the teams we've discussed here. A lot of them have been crucified. Put Minnesota under consideration still. And we'll take the next four teams. Even though this is the 11 line, we are going to end up going that at-large bids remaining count is there's something wrong with it. What we do have is seven at-large spots left as we are right now. Actually, Matt, let me go to you for your next four teams.
I think actually literally the next four under consideration are the four I would probably have here.
So Notre Dame, Minnesota, Baylor, Marquette?
Yeah.
Okay. And in that order as well.
Basically, I got that in that order.
Because the first Marquette would then become the first of our first four teams. All right. Salika, you want to comment on his pick right here?
I would say Minnesota I can agree with, but the other ones I probably would have had personally would have been Alabama. I would also say Syracuse, even though they also had a similar incident last night at Wake Forest.
I'm cringing.
And I'm also going to say Utah here because this is another team that's quietly put together a decent record away from home, at least as far as the 11 line goes. But they also have a win against Ole Miss on a neutral floor and also beat Missouri, which we've mentioned earlier.
Joby, your thoughts on those on these teams and Sleek's comments like on them?
I'm not as high on Utah. Utah is actually very close to me, but I think they're out. If you heard me say if I was going with a Pac-12 team, I'm Washington is who I'd trot out at that point. But this is where the Mississippi State, you know, the win, I know it's only one win, but it is a win against a team we have as a five. And if they hadn't have won that game, we'd be talking about Arkansas as a three or a four. So it's at home. But this is where, as I said, you take chances on teams. Alabama and Mississippi State, two of these SEC teams, fit the opposite ends of these profiles of a team that's been beat up, but they've shown a lot, you know, the schizo component, and then Mississippi State, which they haven't been tested. Do we really know who they are? But you know what? They haven't failed a lot of tests either. So, and you know, what they have, one, two losses? I mean, their schedule stinks, but don't talk to me about bad schedules when you're having Baylor sitting there.
Rocco, he's talking about your Washington team maybe belonging in here.
Yeah, so I'm gonna agree. So I've got Notre Dame, and then Baylor, and then the University of Washington, and then Minnesota would be my fourth. So pretty close to Joby and Matt, but I have Washington just barely above Minnesota.
Well, it sounds to me like we're kind of all debating on these same teams here. Titel, is there somebody that's glaringly does not belong in that we just put in those four groups, those four teams, or can you live with that?
I can live with it. If we can get Mississippi State and a glaring strength of schedule out of consideration and replace them with Middle Tennessee, so you can check out some mid-major metrics, that would be to my liking.
I'll tell you what, I'll put their team sheets up right here. Mississippi State, right there coming up on the left-hand side, while Middle Tennessee is going to come up on the right. Yeah,
Mississippi State's train the schedule is 236, Middle Tennessee 25. Given all these losses that were neutral site, I understand there's a gaping hole in the win column, but four respectable losses, single digits to mostly mid high major teams.
I'll tell you, if they had the Belmont win, I would be there. It's just I can't quite go there, and I love Middle Tennessee team, and you know, they struggled to beat Florida International tonight.
I take it they did win in overtime tonight.
But yes, what's wrong? I mean, okay. Like I said, they're going to be competing, like I said, they are for the SWAC championship, you know, with Mississippi State. But they do have a win against the team against the field, and their only loss is a team in the field on the road. A tough place to play.
I want to throw another team out there.
You shouldn't reject
a team. This is a team. They had a real close loss to Kansas, but they've won four in a row since then. Off to a 2-1 start in the Big Ten. And if you're forecasting ahead, you got to figure that they're going to be at or near the top of the Big Ten, and that's the Nebraska Cornhuskers, coached by Tim Miles. All
right. You know, there's one other team to at least discuss. I don't know if they're in. I'd probably have them out, but be like my first team out, is when you talk Big Ten. Ohio State got a nice win tonight at Iowa.
Yeah.
Ohio State should be at least in the discussion. I'm not saying they're in, but I'd say we should discuss them.
And that's a team that I think that's one of two teams I think needs to be discussed tonight that we have not brought up yet. But before we do that, David, why don't I have you go ahead and give me the next three teams, which will complete the at-large field here.
Let me see. Your final three teams. We've got more. Alabama, none. Okay, I have Alabama, Syracuse, and Utah are the next three that I have. And Mississippi State right behind them, who we've talked about, but not. But, yeah, I got the next three. Coincidentally, those are my next three. And then I have Washington right behind Mississippi State.
Okay, well, Joby, he's leaving Ohio State out while putting Syracuse in. Can you justify that?
I actually can. I think it's a coin flip. I think they're both out, but very close out. It's Utah that I have the bigger issue with. Once again, I'll bang that Mississippi State. Yes, their schedule isn't strong, but what they've done with that schedule, this is what a play-in game's for. Let's test them out. You know, let's test them out. Let's take them for a test run. I think the Bulldogs should be one of those playing teams, without a doubt.
Titel, what do you think? We left St. Mary's out also.
I like them. I think that they would make my field. Certainly not as a protected seed or anything. A win over Cal is not that great. They beat a lot of mid-major teams.
New Mexico
State. Losing to Washington State is certainly nothing to write home about, but I'd put them under consideration.
Another team we didn't put here. How about Georgia?
I was thinking Georgia. I prefer Georgia to Mississippi State, personally. Yeah.
It's pretty close. Yeah, I like Georgia. Okay. I mean, I looked at them. I just didn't think they had quite enough yet, but it wouldn't shock me at all if they were way inside the bubble by the time the season was over.
Well, I get to make one more veto move here, and I am going to veto Syracuse out and put Ohio State in their place. David, I just can't see this with what they did last night. I think they're close.
Look at all the under the radar teams they've beaten.
Exactly, but there are. Well, let me run through each of you here. Are there any other teams that we did not discuss tonight that you think are there or are close to being there? And Titel, anybody else that we should have put in or should have at least discussed?
I mean, you can throw in Louisville, but I'm sure that I'm not going to lose any sleep if you throw them right out again.
Yeah.
Well, Joby, what about St. John's?
No.
No.
I mean, they got to do. They're looking at an awful record in the Big East to start off with. They had a spark, but I think that spark is gone. And what they've done lately sticks a lot. You know, if we're talking about, if we're dropping A&M from a 2 to a 4, and that's massive droppage for a protected sea level sort of situation. Dropping St. John's from where they were, which is probably a 10 or 11 to out of the field, should not be, should be pretty much a no-brainer.
Matt, your thoughts on anybody else that, and any glaring mistakes you think that we made in this 1 through 47 seed list?
I don't think we made any terrible mistakes. The one we did bring up, and there another little bit of a team schizo, San Diego State.
Yeah. That would have been the team like that I think we should look at, but at the end of the day, I wouldn't have taken them. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I'd have them as like a 1 or 2 seed of the NIT, but
they're just fun to look at, you know.
There's, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of schizophrenia there. Let me run through each of you then, and I'll go ahead. I'll leave the bracket up here, but let me run through each of you. Any other final thoughts on what we did here? And Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, I think this is actually pretty close to, you know, what I would have expected. I thought at this point in the season we might have some more extreme arguments, but no, I'm feeling pretty good from a committee standpoint on where we landed on this. I think the only teams that didn't get considered that maybe should be is Western Kentucky, but they'll have to probably go 16-2 in the conference. They have the Purdue win, which keeps looking really good. And they beat SMU, who's in our field safely. And then Temple is about 4 minutes away. They have a 5-point lead against Cincinnati. So if they win that, then they're another schizo team that we should put on the bubble.
Well, talking about teams that maybe we just made a big mistake on, Titello, Arizona State looking like they're about to lose to Colorado. Just hypothetically, we'll leave them where they are, but how far would you drop them down if they lose this game?
I don't think you'd drop them like 2 seed lines. I think I could drop them 1 in good conscience. And my Wildcats are only up 2 with 7 minutes left. So it's going to be a rough year in the Pac-12 all year.
Well, it would justify the Utah inclusion at least. But any other final thoughts from you?
Yeah, just the best and worst part of a bracket is that it changes every single day, literally. There's huge games every day. Xavier going to Villanova this week. TCU going to Oklahoma. Miami going to Clemson. So it's a great time of year. I know a lot of the football fans miss football, but every night this thing changes, which is why I love it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Salika, how about you?
I think I'm still stunned to see Baylor here, given their metrics so far. I mean, I know that they've beaten Creighton, but when you have a schedule that's starting to rival that of what kept Angry Frank and his bunch out of the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago, I think even our good friend Teddy Valentine is so upset he can't even look Baylor in the eye.
Yeah, I would not have had Baylor in this field, but there was a lot of consensus that you guys liked them. Joby, your thoughts?
I was not one of those, as you probably figured out. The interesting component is usually, we've been tracking this for a long time, usually the at-large line is drawn in the 12 seed area, not the 11. I actually think, given what's happening in the under-the-radar conferences, New Mexico State really is the only one who has a shot at an at-large. We are looking very consistently, week in, week out. It's not going to change a lot between the 11 and 12s being where the 11 and the very early 12s being where the play-in game is going to find itself. That's one of the highest we will have seen since the play-in game. And so that's an interesting component. And I think it sticks throughout the season.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, actually, in the past where you've done the same spreadsheet, I've had the 6 spots on the 12 line. I switched them up to the 11 line because I anticipated that's what we're looking at this year. Matt, your thoughts?
Well, I say is following a bubble team here, team number 44, you're ready in January to do that game against Providence. That's a big one. I'm looking January 9th, home to Seton Hall. Like, you already can outline, okay, these are going to be the games that determine do you make the tournament or not, and then maybe if you win enough of them, can you climb up to, say, being wearing home whites. But we're already at the point of the season where if you're following a bubble team, you can pick points in the schedule and saying, this is a big one, this is a big one, got to win this, and where you can't afford to drop one. For basically the Big East, it's basically, I think, only DePaul this year. It's going to be the only real anchor.
Georgetown. David.
If you laugh, they're a decent team, I think. Like, following, kind of, but
And maybe Providence too, but David, go ahead.
I like football in for the most part, but one of the things I love about basketball is that half the teams are not eliminated before the season even starts. And it's worth noting that I think two of our top five teams, Oklahoma and Arizona State, didn't even receive a single vote in the preseason poll. Yet here they are, high in the human polls, like in the protected seed range, and you see it every year. I just think that that's kind of cool. And the other thing is that can you believe that it's halftime? This is week 9. It's an 18-week season that includes all the way up to Selection Sunday. I can't believe we're halfway through already.
Yeah, great point. We are halfway through. Another team up there, we put Texas Tech on the 2 line to echo that. What I do want to make as a final note here.
Yeah,
as
Texas, you can see, good point. Yeah.
We do have spots 48 through 68 still blank. What we're going to do, if you look down on the website there, you'll probably see it there already, but a little later this evening, we're going to do our Under the Radar podcast where we're going to go ahead and fill out the rest of those lines. So click on down there if you want to watch that. But I do want to thank everybody for joining us and pull us all up on the screen again, possibly, maybe not. But on behalf of Rocco Miller, John Slica, Joby Fortson, Matt Sikowski, John Titel, and David Griggs way down there at the bottom, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.